This is The Topic is Trek, episode 74, for Friday, September 4th, 2020. Coming up in this episode, bad headline, good news. Will a classic Trek character return? Lower Decks is streets ahead. All that and more right now on The Topic is Trek. We bring it downtown. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello, everyone. It's me again, Clinton, here for The Topic is Trek. Oh, I don't get it. There we go.
Well, oil machine.
I thought you were waiting for a dot com.
Oh, dot com. Well, no, anyway. And so beaming in to join me, as always, to help get us right back on track again, because we kind of took a side detour there. I kind of like threw something, a curveball. But let's get back to the main ball game. The metaphors are flying fast and furious. Beaming in to join me, as always, first of all, our Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hey, hey, hey.
No.
That wouldn't work
once again. Okay. Once again, it's a work in progress, but yeah. Go back to the drawing board.
Maybe right, by show 100.
To Google.
That's the problem. You keep Googling catchphrases. If it's on Google, it's already a catchphrase.
Okay, I'll try again.
I think predictive text would do better. Yeah, I will and am by Friday and alone.
Already here, beamed in already, is Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
I find this whole show totally illogical.
Well, after this much time, I would assume you would already have caught on to that shtick of ours.
And the show's still young. That's
right. But speaking of young or not so young, depending on how you look at it, happy 54th birthday to a little thing we like to call Star Trek.
Yes.
It premiered on NBC on September 8th, 1966. And I was there.
I was there.
Craig wasn't quite there yet. I don't think I was a twinkle in anybody's eye yet.
And I was amazed to find out later on that it was actually in color. But that's a story for another day. Yeah. But we do have lots of news about said birthday coming up. So therefore, it's time to open up, assuming he's okay with this, open up subspace chatter. Right, Charlie?
Charlie, I'll give you a case of Chateau Picard.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Nope.
Bribe doesn't work. Okay. Well, bribe doesn't work. Good to know. We'll try something else next time. All right. Mm. But we were just talking about Star Trek's anniversary, its birthday, and Viacom CBS seems to be ready for it. And we mean really ready. So to start off, Will Wheaton, TV's Wesley Crusher and host of The Ready Room, and Micah Burton will be your guides to 3.5 hours of virtual panels on September 8th. The talks will cover nearly every iteration of Trek, including panels on Discovery, Strange New Worlds, Enterprise, Deep Space Nine, the original series, Lower Decks, Voyager, TNG, and Picard.
That's all of them.
We don't have the animated series is not in there.
Oh, right. No, you're right.
Don't have Short Treks in there. So the panels will run from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and that's noon to 3:30 p.m. Pacific. Fans worldwide can view the panel. Go to StarTrek.com/day for information on streaming and the panel descriptions. And now to tell us more about it is Craig.
Yes, and good news, there will also be a free day of streaming, and by day, I mean all day of streaming. It's a marathon that will begin at 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight Pacific. Sadly, it's only available for fans based in the U.S. It will feature episodes from 8 different Star Trek television series. The marathon will pause for the duration of the Star Trek Day global panels, which we just spoke about, and will resume after the panels conclude. It will feature episodes from Picard, Voyager, TOS, Lower Decks, TNG, TAS, and I was making sure I was reading ahead and said TOS, TS, and Discovery, and Enterprise, and Deep Space Nine, and Short Treks. Again, go to StarTrek.com/day, D-A-Y, for information on streaming and panels for descriptions. And I think Chuck's going to follow up with a little bit more.
But wait, yeah, there's more. That's the way this show
You're
goes.
Right.
Over on Twitch, you can join the Geeks Who Drink Star Trek pub quiz, which starts
we do here.
At 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific-y. Join fellow Star Trek fans from all over the world and test your Star Trek knowledge. The quiz can be accessed at twitch.tv/geekswhodrinkpubquizzes.
Indeed, that's an easy one to type into your computer there. And there was even be more. There will also be a Flash merchandise sale over at StarTrek.com on September 8th, as well as the addition of Star Trek-themed emojis on Twitter. Starting on the 8th, you'll be able to tweet with emojis featuring Geordi LaForge, Michael Burnham, Jean-Luc Picard, and more. So clearly that's everything, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's plenty, right? Wrong! Because right now, as part of the celebration, you can share what Star Trek means to you by posting stories, pictures, and memories over on Instagram and Twitter using the hashtag Star Trek Story for a chance to be featured on the official Star Trek platforms, wherever platforms, I guess they're talking about all the different places they're streaming and talking about stuff. So, yeah, go over and check that out on Instagram and Twitter. Star Trek Story hashtag.
And last, but by no means least, on September 8th, for every person that tweets with hashtag Star Trek United Gives, get your hashtag papers out, kids. Hope you're reading this in time. CBS All Access will donate one beautiful dollar to organizations who do the real world work of championing equality, social justice, and the pursuit of scientific advancements. Whew. We knew that was a lot. For all the details, head over to StarTrek.com/day. You can find that link if you really forget it. It's in the show notes over at the topic is Trek.com. Episode 74 show notes.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Moving on. Star Trek Discovery is being beamed into CBS's fall broadcast lineup. The sci-fi series, which is currently only available on CBS All Access streaming service, will air its full first season on CBS starting on September 24th. While CBS is spinning this as a way to help promote season 3 of Discovery on All Access, many believe the decision is likely part of CBS's efforts to fill a broadcast lineup that has been affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Now, interestingly enough, in this story, they give the lineup for the first couple of weeks of the fall season, and it lists in there, and I thought they were going to do this. They said premiere of Star Trek Discovery on CBS. Chances are they're going to show the first episode of season 1, which they showed on CBS to launch Discovery.
As I say, it already premiered
2 years ago.
Yeah, so not so much.
That's all right. Hey, it's good for people that haven't seen it or hadn't seen the whole season.
Or missed it and don't have all access. Yep.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's our gift, all of us who pay for CBS All Access, it's our gift to you.
Yeah. Surprise.
All right. Now, another story.
Yeah. And the headline actually caught us off guard, but the headline Klingon No More, along with a picture of actor Kenneth Mitchell, had us clicking to find out what happened. I know. Luckily, the news is actually good. Mitchell will be featured in 2 episodes of season 3 of Discovery coming out in October. But rather than playing another Klingon, like he's done in the season one and season two, Mitchell will be playing a human, or at least we'll see his face. I guess he's a human. So no endless hours of makeup required for him. As you may recall, earlier this year, the actor revealed that he had been diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and now requires the assistance of a wheelchair. So that's really good news. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you said that something you read said that he had filmed that prior to doing the cruise itself.
Yeah, I think actually the article talked about that. It said he had filmed it before. And of course, everybody saw him in the wheelchair when we were on the cruise. And so it was really good news to actually see that he had participated in it.
And he also, in his one of his statements about it, he was, in addition to the normal people like Alex Kurtzman and the production companies, you know, Secret Hideout and so forth, he was thanking Jonathan Frakes. So I'm wondering if Jonathan Frakes directed the episodes that he's in.
I wouldn't doubt it. He may have.
Jonathan Frakes is a director?
Yeah, I know. It's
when did that
surprise? Happen?
Will has another gig now that he's no longer
a captain. It's actually Thomas Riker.
Oh.
But nobody can tell.
He couldn't move up in Starfleet because his twin was on the Enterprise, so he just quit and directed movies.
Makes sense. It's a logical next step for that type of thing.
Under the nom de plume, Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, this is getting very confusing. We better move on to something else completely different.
All right,
so, yeah. Chuck, we've got some casting news.
Yes, CBS All Access has announced that Star Trek will continue its history of celebrating diversity with the introduction of two new characters to Season 3 of Star Trek Discovery. Actor Ian Alexander has joined the cast of Star Trek Discovery for Season 3, playing the transgender character Gray. How many shades of gray?
Just one, I think.
Well, that is certainly news in its own right. This next bit kind of stood out to us, too. The character of Gray is described as, quote, empathic, warm, and eager to fulfill his lifelong dream of being a Trill host. But he will have to adapt when his life takes an unexpected turn. Might this signal the return of our favorite symbiont, Dax? Alex is a 19-year-old actor who uses they/them and he/him pronouns. He's best known for his roles as Buck Vu on the Netflix series The OA and Lev in Naughty Dog's video game The Last of Us Part 2. I do remember that character from The OA. They are the first out transgender Asian American person to act on television.
Huh.
He is also an advocate for transgender equality, racial justice, and mental health awareness for LGBTQ+ youth. Good.
Excellent. Great addition. But Alexander was not the only new cast announcement. CBS All Access also announced that Discovery will introduce the franchise's first non-binary character, Adira, portrayed by Blue Del Arroyo. Adira is described as, quote, highly intelligent with a confidence and self-assurance well beyond their years. Adira will find a new home on the USS Discovery and form an unexpected bond with Lieutenant Commander Paul Stamets, played by Anthony Rapp, and Dr. Hugh Culber, played by Wilson Cruz. Del Barrio is a non-binary actor who uses they/them pronouns. They describe Adira as a wonderfully complex character, intelligent beyond their years, and say that, like most teenagers, they experience their emotions at a heightened level. Del Barrio adds, Adira is an introvert, but they keep a few people close to the chest, which I definitely resonate with. I don't want to say too much and get in trouble, but all in all, Adira is a uniquely strange and beautiful character. And a reminder that Season 3 of Discovery premieres on October 15th. So it was interesting writing these articles because, just as kind of a strange side note, this is the first time I've been using the pronouns.
Yeah.
Never had cause to use them before. So sometimes I was writing a sentence going, this sentence is... So the structure seems very odd when you talk about a person as they and
right,
structure and wording.
Yeah. Was the grammar checker getting
it? Hopefully it made that all sound right.
Was the grammar checker getting you?
Well, it wasn't kicking in, so maybe that was a good thing. But so
interesting.
Anyone out there says, oh, that was all wrong. It's a work in progress, so we'll obviously have lots of practice.
We'll all learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the grammar check is socially aware. So here, talking about one of many people's favorite characters, and the 84-year-old actor James Darren, who played Vic Fontaine, he's resting at home and recovering from COVID-19. Reports said he's expected to make a full recovery. We are here at the topic of straight now. It is never a good idea to bet against Vic. So we hope for Mr. Darren's speedy recovery.
Indeed. Yeah. The last that I heard, everything was going well. So I'm hoping that indeed continues.
Yeah.
All right. And in Vulcan, Alberta, Canada news.
Here we go.
There is nothing major to report, although we did note that fuel was recently stolen from the Vulcan Golf and Country Club. Lots of things could be the cause, but we suspect the away team on an away mission sent back to observe events in 2020 is attempting to use the fuel to power their return to space and a rendezvous with the orbiting Enterprise. I mean, clearly that is the most logical explanation for what happened to the fuel.
Didn't they learn anything when Quark and Rom and Nog got stuck in 1947 and needed a sufficient power source to get back? They used a nuclear blast. They tried gas from the country club.
Yeah, well, you make do with what you got. It's either that or like a windmill or something. And once you get out of gravity and Earth and stuff, you're out of the gravity well, and all of a sudden it stops spinning, and you got no.
Hey, the only thing that would give you that kind of power is a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
Just reverse the polarity, Craig.
Crossing the streams. All right. Now, that was a lot of stories to cover, but we have an additional 45 stories that we did not get a chance to cover. And it's everything from Chris Pine still hoping to return to Star Trek IV to a story that tries to connect season 2 of Discovery to a painting in Spock's quarters in the undiscovered country. Mm. So you've got a little bit of everything in there, and you can find all the links to all 45 articles, as well as links to all the articles we covered in Subspace Chatter, including the news about the crime of the century in Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, over in the show notes for episode 74 over at thetopicistrek.com. All right. And that brings us to the end. So, Charlie, I'm afraid it's time to close up Subspace Chatter.
I want to stay.
No, see, if you just kind of been nice about the whole thing, we would have let you stay.
I kind of want to beatbox on that. I want to stay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
all right, working on that for next time. There we go. All right, but now it's time to head out on our main mission, so we get the appropriate side effect for that.
Alert. Alert.
No, not that.
I don't think so. And why is all my tea suddenly floating in the air?
Is that phrase still politically correct?
I don't know. We'll find out on next season of Discovery. Coming on October 15th, by the way, I hear.
Yeah.
All right, but right now we're going to be talking about the next two episodes of season 1 of Star Trek Lower Decks, episodes 4 and 5, which brings us to the halfway point in the season already. Hard to believe. But first, we're talking about the episode Moist Vessel. And I'll give you the synopsis from IMDb, which again, I think they rip off from Memory Alpha. Captain Freeman seeks the ultimate payback after Mariner blatantly disrespects her in front of the crew. A well-meaning Tendi accidentally messes up a lieutenant's attempt to spiritually ascend and tries to make it right. And a special guest voice in this episode playing the part of that person who doesn't get a chance to ascend, or do they, is Halle Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense, the one who sees dead people.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't catch that. Nice.
I didn't I catch that? I mean, obviously the voice has changed a bit since The Sixth Sense, but
I think he sounds the same.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like that clip of Harrison we just played, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. So this one I only had a chance to watch once. And my impression, I'll give my impressions of it first. I felt like in this episode, while the payoffs worked well, the setups were too forced.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, Tendi what messed up well beyond all reason, you know, standing up, walking around inside that ceremony and knocking things over and all sorts of things happening, and just really over the top conflict between, you know, Mariner and her mother. It just was, it's like, we know where we want to get to, but we're not sure how we're going to get there. So we're going to do this and just be like throwing things out there. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was a bad start to a better second half of the episode. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I had the same feeling, especially when we're like, oh man, it's another Mariner being rebellious episode. Here we go. I did like seeing her wallowing in her promotion. So there was some satisfaction there. Like you said, the second half was better. Counter to that was when Boimler thought, well, let's see, if you screw up, you might get promoted. And then while they're in the midst of crisis, you know, here's your coffee, and spills it on the bridge officer on purpose. You know, so there were a few, you know, funny gags in there, but it was a bit forced at the beginning. Like it was tough to get through the first half.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I agree with you guys, believe it or not, but I agree with you guys. There was a lot of work up to, especially the
transcending guy.
Yeah. The transcending guy. It's like, okay. He kind of admits that he wasn't, it was just a thing he made up, and then he ends up doing it.
Yeah.
But he's like, painful. No.
Yeah. I like the fact that it was painful, because you always think of this ascension thing as being calm and serene and beautiful. Yeah. And like, this hurts. Make it stop.
Make it stop. Okay. Yeah. That was kind of funny, but yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It was a little bit too much build up, even for that, throughout the whole episode. Yeah. So yeah, but I guess I enjoyed it all right, but probably wasn't my favorite so far.
Yeah, I think that the bit that we saw several times before was probably the funniest bit with the, you know, don't you give me that, you know, mock Vulcan salute attitude.
The sarcastic. Yeah, the sarcastic Vulcan salute. They played that on a couple of scenes leading up to that, and I thought that was, you know, a pretty funny bit.
All right, so we will move on to the most current episode, which is Cupid's Errant Arrow. And this synopsis is, Mariner is suspicious of Boimler's new girlfriend. Tendi and Rutherford grow jealous of a bigger starship's gear. So it's a very odd synopsis. I think hastily written synopsis.
The shortest one.
Well, yeah. It didn't look like the ship was, I didn't see any significant size difference. They both had a saucer section and nacelles below, and
yeah, just configured a little different, but yeah.
Yeah, essentially. So, I think the...
The Vancouver?
The implication is the Vancouver was a significantly better ship. Perhaps that it was maybe newer. It seemed to have newer stuff. And, of course, Captain Freeman is being, you know, told, oh, our ship is so much better than yours, and maybe someday you can be in a ship like this and have important missions to be on, and stuff. I do like the fact that in this episode that we get a chance to actually see the captain doing something.
Yeah.
You know, she was in making these negotiations on how to deal with this, all these, the different cultures trying to deal with the fact that they were going to destroy this moon, and, you know, how that was going to change everything and how to deal with it. And she comes up with solutions to everything.
Yeah, she satisfied like every, you know, almost everybody in the room. Oh, okay. Yeah,
except
that'll
work. One.
Walk off. Except for one guy.
Yeah, I do like, we won't reveal it, but that one guy was a significant punchline at the end. I liked that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Our entire civilization is at risk.
Yes. I like this episode. I thought Mariner was probably it seemed was a little too protective of Boimler, you know, even though they didn't have a relationship per se, like a intimate relationship, but she was being very protective of Boimler, which it didn't seem like she cared about him enough in the last few episodes to feel this way. So it seemed a little odd to me, but I kind of liked where it went.
Well, I think that they tried to explain that with that flashback to Big Hair Mariner.
The TNG. Yeah,
that was awesome.
With the double gray outfits.
Was the outfit correct for the same time that they're saying that that stuff happened on the Enterprise with Lore?
I think so. It had that DS9 type.
But that it would have had to have been like 20 years ago, and she's barely 20 years old.
Wait a minute. They were, she said it was that time where I was on the keto, and they showed the ship, and it's at DS9.
Oh, okay.
It had the pylons. You can see the pylons out.
That's where the You're ship right. If this is... Yeah, how old was she in that?
The timing doesn't work for her age. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's had a lot more experience than her age lets on.
But I think that, you know, that flashback though was supposed to explain why she's so protective of this, that this is not going to happen again, you know.
Right. At first I thought it was some sort of latent jealousy or something, like why is she being so protective? Is she secretly in love with him and doesn't want anybody messing with him? And clearly he was easily offset by the jealousy whenever, you know, the girlfriend, I can't remember her name now, but she would
Barb.
And she was hanging around Jet and getting a little giggly and stuff. And that set off Boimler. So I also found it a little odd at first that Rutherford and Tendi, not that they were hanging out, but that she was interested in what I perceived as engineering equipment, engineering concepts. You know, why was she in engineering while he was going, oh, the smell of this ship, like toasted marshmallows while there's a plasma fire going on? You know, that was comically funny. But what was she doing there? Because she was working on something. She's supposed to be in medical.
Medical, right.
Yeah, I thought it a little odd. And then they get all excited about these scanners. Okay, that started to make more sense. He can scan engineering stuff and she can scan medical stuff. But then they're in a Jeffries tube scanning engineering stuff. Go, wait a sec.
Yeah, they're nerdy together. That's all, I think.
Maybe that's her off hours and just hanging out while he works.
She took another vacation day on top of the vacation day she took for the Ascension guy.
Well, it might not be a vacation day. It might be like, you know, her shift is over and that's where she hangs out.
I liked when they were hanging out on the Vancouver and they jump in that little tube with the scanners. Yeah. And then the guy just walks around the corner and meets him on the other end of the tube.
shortest Jeffries tube there is.
Yeah, and it leads just down the hall. It's like not even a fight tube.
It's not really a Jeffries tube. It's a Jeff tube exit. So that's how short it is.
Jeff tube. I thought this was a pretty good episode. I thought this was better than the last one we saw.
Yeah.
We even got a Kirk and Trip Tucker reference in there.
I wrote it down. Boimler refers to Jet as a Kirk Sunday with a Trip Tucker sprinkles.
Right.
That was good. Did you catch the authorization? It says, I need an emergency transport over to the platform Gamma. And they said, authorization goes, authorization Mariner 8, which is actually a Martian mission.
Oh, yeah. And what? Yeah.
Wow. That was nice. So, they're getting some good deep cut obscure references, and you got to be listening for them.
Of course, there was some that were right on the surface. Like you had Barbara, who, by the way, streets ahead because she was voiced by Gillian Jacobs from Community, Britta from Community.
Oh, yeah.
Who voiced the little, to,
doing time travel going back to the 1920s Chicago.
Oh, yes.
Nobody's washing their hands.
Who voiced the parasite?
Never.
You know what's funny is I thought that was, you know, you figure that they wrote these, they produced this a while back or have been produced. And when the guy said, then, you know, in Chicago, they didn't wash their hands. I was like, wow, you know, that takes a whole new meaning nowadays.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Uh-huh. And then I had another reference to a couple of weird ones in there. One was to when Mariner is listing off all the different things that Barbara could be. One of them is, you know, the sexy people in rompers who kill you for walking on the grass.
I wrote that down as well.
Yeah.
So I said so many references, including the people in rompers.
Hey, and you know what's funny? That was such a quick joke. I was like, oh, I got it.
Yeah. Did I just hear what I think I heard? Because I was trying to digest the first part of that sentence and they unload that at the end. It was very well done.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
And not many people make references to the Suliban. So there you go. Maybe that reference in there as well.
That was again another one. Well, we got two Enterprise show references there.
Indeed. I definitely like this episode. I thought that it was weird though, that this is the first episode that didn't have a cold open. It went right into credits at the beginning and then went into the episode.
That threw me off. I wasn't quite sure I was watching it right. It was like, boom, here's the opener. Wait, don't we have an intro segment? And I don't know
I did the same thing. Oh. Sometimes you're streaming something and you go, I must have clicked on and it skipped the intro.
Or I paused it earlier.
I don't think I pay attention to that. You're probably right.
There was no opening segment. And for whatever reason, on the last two watchings, I watched Moist Vessel all the way through. And then Thursday, I watched Errant Arrow. And then I went back tonight just before the show and watched Moist Vessel again. But on both those last two watchings, at the second commercial break, my app on my smart TV gets stuck and I'm playing like the same 2 seconds of the commercial. Geico. I'm like, what is.
I got it.
It's the remix version.
It's stuck. Yeah, I would be eating dinner and kind of watching. What?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have to reboot the TV or something.
I got to stop eating and reboot the TV. Yeah.
Your smart TV is having an identity crisis.
What are the scores?
We're going to rate this one to five nacelles.
It's nacelles. I had no idea stars.
1 to 10 nacelles. There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, the 10 nacelles is like, that's way too many nacelles. But anyway.
Wait, have you seen the Enterprise? They had the ship. Oh, he had 3.
1 to 10 warps.
Yeah. Tribbles.
Quatloos.
It implodes on itself every time it goes to warp. It's very sad. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, we are indeed going to rate these on a scale of 1 to 10. And we will start with. Got a feeling it's going to be our lowest rated one. We're going to start with voiced missile. Yeah, there we go. Moist Vessel. I like my name better, but okay. We're going to start with voice missile.
Yeah.
And let's start with Chuck this time around.
I give it a 6.0.
Okay. I'll go next. I am going to rate it. I said I'd never go below a 5, but actually I'm going to rate it a 4.5.
Ooh.
Harsh. Ooh. It was that forced intro that they had. The first half was rough.
Yep. That kind of, like I said, like the second half, didn't like the first half.
Yeah. And I kept it. I would have gone lower, but it sort of redeemed itself in the second half.
Yeah. I'll give it an even 5. How about that? I'll split the difference. I sort of enjoyed it.
Can't it wasn't as good I was as the other generous ones. One on this one. Okay. Next one.
All right. Next one. So we move on to Cupid's Errant Arrow. And we will go in the reverse order. So we're going to start with Craig.
I will give this a 7.5.
Very good. I'm actually going to go higher. I'm going to give this one an 8. I really enjoyed this.
Wait, you can't outdo me. 8.5.
How many Quatloos do you bid now?
300 Quatloos.
All right, and we go to Chuck.
I'm going It's kind of bizarre because I'm the low end on this one now. I'm a 7-0.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So we're all in agreement, I think.
On, just our scale's a little off balance.
But we had a, I think it was after the episode, I'm pretty sure after the episode was over last time around, I'm not speaking out of class, I don't think, but we had a discussion about the ratings. And what I guess we haven't made clear about the ratings is that it's your own personal scale of however you tend to rate things. So, you know, for instance, Craig may have a certain criteria and a certain balance of which he's rating an episode, whereas I'm looking at things from a different perspective. We may like the episode exactly the same amount and come out with ratings that are three numbers apart from each other.
Yeah.
It's really depending on how we're doing it. So if you're scratching your head about how does all that work, everybody views things differently. Everybody has a different opinion about things.
Like, whose line is it anyway? The points mean nothing.
Yeah, I look at the trend, not necessarily our points.
That's right.
You can tell that you know, the number four was probably our least favorite, but number five was better.
It did have a Tellarite. We haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah. Now.
Oh, and we did see a naked boiler.
Well, yeah. there was that
on the second one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when Mariner, I feel like I should know what this is, and I just didn't. So somebody's going to go, well, clearly it's this. And I go, oh, of course. When Mariner is running through the halls to try to get to the shuttle before it leaves with Barbara and Boimler, she pushes the...
pushes several people out of the way.
Yeah, and she even calls one out by name.
She says...
Stephanie? No.
Jennifer.
Jennifer, that's it.
And it's like, I feel like, do I know? Because it's like clearly a thing. It must be a reference to something. And I missed it. And I'm going to kick myself when somebody points out what that is.
Yeah. Just like the Janeway protocol. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, wait, do I know what that is?
Maybe she was pushing Jennifer Lean out of the way.
I don't know. So if you know what that is and you're screaming at your listening device, you know, send us a message, you know, post something and go, be nice and say, well, you know, now that you ask what that was and let us know. All right. But it's time to come back from our main mission with an appropriate sound effect.
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep.
That's going to be
his franchise.
He's going to cue in next week with that. Write it down so you don't forget.
And it's time to have our Warp Speed Roundtable. And this time around, it's a bit of a poser. And it's based on a premise we talked about earlier in the episode, the fact that there will be a Trill in Season 3 of Discovery, and that could possibly signal the return of Dax. Now, we're not saying that's what that is. We're just saying that it's possible. It's conceivable.
How many hosts would that be after 930 years?
Three. They lived a really long time, each of them. It was really...
Dax must be like 1,500 years old.
I don't know how long they're supposed to actually live, what their lifespan is supposed to be. But okay, so assume that they could live that long. So if it was Dax or if it was some other... remember the species, and they now show up. So if the Trill fulfills their purpose, because part of that description seemed to indicate that, well, maybe something happens and that doesn't happen. But if it did, now you have somebody who theoretically knows about everything that happened over the last 930 years that they skipped. Would you want that being to start rattling off, or when asked, or kind of offhand comments about all different things that happen over the centuries in between, or would you rather have it remain a blank slate? So I'm going to pose that question first to Craig. What do you think? Do you feel like they should blab about everything or mm-hmm. not?
I'm going to say not. I don't want it. I can think it was all right. You know, it'd be kind of interesting if Dax was there, but to be honest with you, I want some new blood. I want some new stories. I want some new ground to cover. I don't need somebody saying, oh, you know, back when we did this 800 years ago, you know, that kind of thing. I want some new stuff. And we'll find out, I'm sure, as our stories unfold. Oh yeah, something did happen 700 years ago, or something did happen 800 years ago. But I don't need a trill narrating the whole journey. So right. No, I want something new.
Right. I'm going to say that I agree with you on that. That I think the other problem, if they were to do that, is that you've now painted yourself into corners that you didn't have to. That as you progress with Trek, and say you have after Picard, they decide the next series is going to be set like 100 years later, like they did between TOS and the Next Generation. Well, if you'd made reference in season 3 to some event that happened like 800 years ago, now you have a potential conflict where you didn't need to have one. So I feel like let's not do that. So I'm just kind of throwing this out there as, you know, would you want that to happen? And I say no. And Craig says no. What about you, Chuck?
I'm going to say yes. And it has to be done. All
right, good night, everybody.
Very tastefully. I mean, it. We don't want a walking encyclopedia, like you said. And then after Cyborg had his sex change, you know, that kind of stuff. We don't need that. But we do need some context into why are there only 4 stars or 3 stars or whatever it is on the Starfleet flag or the United Federation of Planets flag. You know, that person might be able to give us some insight to that. Then again, remember that they don't have all their memories. I just watched this episode recently where Dax, you know, said, you're going to be this female personality from my history. And they don't have all those memories until they do that process. So maybe someone got mixed along the way, you know, with it, not saying that it is Dax, but even if it's another Trill and they've had a number of hosts, yeah, they may not have all of the memories of those hosts if they missed that somewhere along the way. You know, back in the year 5745, when my hand Dax was sorry, I had to throw that bad pun in there somewhere. Just looking for words that ended with Dax.
Right.
So, yeah, there could be a use Shepherd for that. I would like to see something other than Dax. I think we're entitled to another Trill character after all this time. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Like I said, I don't know, with this reference to some sort of crisis or something that the character has, whether or not we're going to end up in another situation where the transfer doesn't happen, like we, you know, had that problem on Deep Space Nine when we suddenly switched hosts at the end there, that somebody just happened to be on the transport and got, you know, thrown Dax, because, as you will, because had to have a host mm-hmm. for the thing.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just thinking, you know, as with all things with Star Trek, you know, whenever they go look up stuff in a database, which is they're conveniently carrying around on the ship with them, you know, they can always find what they need. You know, they go, oh yeah. You know, they figure out what's going on based on, because they got this database. So when they go in the future, we know they're interfacing with Starfleet of some capacity. I figure that they've got a database and they know history and stuff. Maybe so. Not.
I mean, we only got a glimpse and it looked pretty dystopian almost.
So I'm wondering if they kind of like retreated to a point where they just don't have those kind of resources anymore.
Their database crashed.
Yeah, it was a system error. They didn't update the software, and after, you know, after 200 years, it was kind of really past, you know, its patches.
Couldn't keep their subscriptions.
Yeah, Microsoft couldn't update. They just stick us in a dystopian future.
Yeah, we've stopped support on that operating system 157 years ago. Sorry. I don't know, because clearly the Discovery doesn't have that information. But I don't know. I was thinking, well, do you want to load all the information onto a Starship? Because, you know, the first thing the aliens do when they come on board is they access all those records by going to a console.
Exactly. Every alien sucks the database dry. Like, don't you encrypt anything or have any passwords on this bloody ship?
Right. Encrypted.
That's what you put. You need to put a worm in the database and just, you know, sure, go ahead, take the database. And all of a sudden, you know, you just
defeat
the enemy that
hack
way.
The hacker.
Have at it, Q.
That's what I'm talking about.
Joke's on you, Q.
Don't forget the graphic 4747.
It's significant. It means something.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the one that they tried to upload to Hugh to make the Borg go insane.
Ah, yes.
Ah, okay.
Don't you?
How do you? I don't remember my own name some days. I'm going to remember things like that.
Forget. No, 47. It was like, never mind.
Well, we covered 47 a couple of weeks ago. So this event's of 47.
Yeah, we're remembering all kinds of stuff. We don't have a trill.
That's right. That's right. we have the same memory as a trill, meaning very full of holes.
We don't have a trill god.
47 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything Star Trek.
Yes. We're five better. So there. All right. Well, if you have any opinion about whether or not you would like to have a walking encyclopedia.
Or would you like a trill inside yourself?
Yeah. One of those questions. Or do you have the memories of a trill?
Or do you have to drop a Dax?
Any of those things, let us know. But for now, it's time to refill the dilithium chamber and warp on out of here. You can find me, Clinton, over at Comedy Forecast, all one word, with the number 4.com. I have finished up Dog Days of Podcasting, and so I'm now back on a regular schedule, meaning that next episode will come out soon. But, if you're listening to this episode prior to the
Sunday 6th,
we will be having a Technorama Comedy Forecast live from Virtual Dragon Con show at 4 p.m., and you can watch that free from any place in the world. You're going to go to, let's see if I can remember this correctly, you're going to go to twitch.tv/DC Digital Media.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, and that's 4 p.m. Eastern United States time. But it's an hour-long show, and it's the show we do every year at Dragon Con. And this year, oddly enough, we're not actually in Atlanta. Funny thing, but we're still doing our show.
We're all Dragon Con. That's the thing.
Yes, we are.
Hey, by the way, you going to talk about did you mention the history of podcasting? You want to do that one too?
Happy. Why don't you? I've been doing a lot of talking. Why don't you quickly mention that? Because you're on the panel.
Yeah. So Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. I got to remember the Eastern part because I didn't put it in all my stuff. Eastern. We're going to with Clinton and myself. Who all did you have? Drew Domkus and
Drew Domkus. We have three other panelists that see not a name day today. You'll find out that information when you get there. Star Trek people as well on some of the other panels.
Same place. Go to the twitch.tv/DC Digital Media at 2 p.m. on Saturday, and you can hear us, waxing poetically about the history of podcasting.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear that. Oh, wait a minute. I'm moderating it. I guess I should.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to hear it.
All right, but who speaks for the two of you in a normal way of things?
You know, I've had a long day, so go ahead, Chuck.
You can find Craig and me over at the Technorama podcast at Technorama. Just search for Technorama podcast. It's at chuckchat.com, where it's been for the last 15 plus years. So news about science, sci-fi, astronomy, nerd stuff, and odd bits in between. So kind of sums up the show. We take a lighthearted look at tech, sci-fi, and all things geek.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of like Comedy Forecast and Technorama get together and put on a show.
That's on Sunday.
All right. I'm reminded of that line where he's describing what Deadpool looked like after the fire.
Draw your own conclusions about the panel. But anyway, it's time to hit the theme, boys.
Over here.
That one. There you go.
Yes. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic Is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic Is Trek,
don't
put on the red
shirt.
Ooh, almost forgot the R.
Shirt. Enunciation.